Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are chatting with Joel Elkonen, co-host of the Benzinga Pre-Market Prep Show, also editor over at the Pre-Market Prep website, which I will link to below. Now, Joel, across the board, we're seeing a lot of positive moves, but we're going to start with the U.S. equity markets because, look, we were talking about weakness in these markets over the last couple weeks. Last week was a tough week for, let's say, the S&P. Even the week before that, it was correcting. But, boy, oh, boy, again, we're seeing this buy-the-dip mentality for the market. And as much as people wanted to say that was the start of a pullback, maybe at the end of the year, fact of the matter is these markets are getting bought back. And you look year-to-date, the S&P is up a little over 20%. It's on track to be the third best year in the last decade here for markets. Just goes to show there clearly is a lot of liquidity and still a lot of optimism, a lot of faith for these equity markets. Joel, what's your takeaway from just this action we've seen over the last few trading days?
Oh man, the market has a very short memory. Thanks for having me, Corey and Shad. I think you have to go back to the flat Black Friday whooping, you know, in the market. That's actually when this all started. I can remember looking at the market on Thursday evening, and the futures were trading actively over 4,700. And then, you know, you get the reaction and, you know, the market gets hit on that. Last week, yeah, on top of that, Omicron fears, you have, you know, Powell, you know, talking as hawkish as he's ever spoken. And you say, we're not going to use transitory anymore. Supply chains are bottleneck. And, you know, so, you know, the combination of the two, you know, put some hurt in the market. Now, it did recover. It had a volatile week. But, you know, jobs number comes out and they initially rally off the jobs number. And then they had a big reversal. So I think the key to the action, you know, between that whole week and everything was, you know, Friday on the close in that last 10 minutes, you had a just, you know, look like we were going to close on the lows and you close 40 handles off that. There was a lot of buying interest in after in the pre-market on Monday. And then Monday off the open, you just got that vicious shakeout and, you know, where, you know, a lot of people are like, I can't take it. I can't take these growth stocks anymore. And they just said, you know, just get me out. And for a lot of the growth stocks, you had, you know, your capitulation low. And it was a turnaround. Now, the news that, you know, came out today is kind of like news that I saw over the weekend. I wish I would have reacted stronger to it, but, you know, that the virus is not being bad. So the market's just very headline-driven. The rotation just see, you know, the strong stocks were strong still last week. Apple gave you a buy the dip opportunity. And you know, how quick the market has a very short memory. I guess that's the best way I can sum it up. No one's thinking about the Fed meeting. No one's thinking about higher interest rates. All they're thinking is, you know, we're not going to deal with another round of the variant and bye, 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 bye.
Well, Joel, it's interesting, isn't it, that like none of the data seems to matter, that whether it's the Fed or the jobs report or earnings, just everything is, like you said, market driven. And it reminds me of the Godfather movie, that line where Al Pacino said, you know, just when I try to get out, they keep pulling me back in. You had made the point off mic that it's almost better not to try to even time these markets because they're such a whipsaw thing that it's better just to do a buy and hold strategy. I mean, do you think there's any room for maneuvering for the short directional traders, or do you think it's best for just most investors to go with that passive investing theme and just leave your money in and ride out the storm? Because almost every single dip for the last few years has been bought back on the 50-day moving average.
I mean, it's so, I mean, for, you know, for the longer term investors, you know, it all depends when you're at on your investing time horizon, but it's just too difficult to time the market for, you know, for the shorter term traders. You just kind of got to go with the flavor of the day, you know, very tempting, you know, to short the market on a big open up like this today. But you just, you know, you just have to play it close to the belt. And, you know, if you're, you know, shorter term, and you're trying to time these markets, you know, either in either direction, then take your cues off, you know, try take a stab off the open. But once, you know, you see what the pre-market activity is, and unless it just reverses really quickly off the pre-market activity, man, once it gets through those pre-market highs and lows, it just so often continues in the same direction. Barely paused today at the pre-market high. And even though it seemed high to Friday's prices, it seemed, you know, very high to Friday's prices, high to Monday's prices, you know, those prices off the open were still a bargain today. I'm looking at the S&P futures, and yeah, they opened up 50 handles, but the intraday low, 45.48, you know, that's three ticks away from the morning session low. So try to go with that, you know, the morning momentum. If you're tempted to fade it, then, you know, fade it. But, you know, don't stick with it for too long because you're going to get run over. And that's in both directions.
Now, Joel, one thing we were talking about off mic is that it really is kind of the buy the dip mentality for a wide range of markets. But fact of the matter is, it still seems like U.S. equity markets broadly are outperforming a lot of the other sectors, even though we're having some drops, even say in the cryptocurrencies, and those are starting to bounce back. U.S. markets are still the strongest out there. Is this a U.S. focused thing, or is this more a global thing where even international investors are probably dumping money into U.S. markets?
Yeah, I mean, you know, the dollar ebbs and flows, but, you know, overall, you know, we have the best liquidity. You know, the dollar, you know, had a little bit of pullback last week. That's extremely strong. So, you know, why to go to other places that have been, you know, when underperforming, right? The laggards are the laggards for a reason. So, yeah, why not? Strong dollar, strong U.S. equity market. You know, where else do you know, the money flows to where the returns are, and that's where they've been on a long-term basis.
So, Joel, what about that Fed meeting coming up next week? You are right. No one seems to be paying attention to that simply because I guess we already had the taper announcement, and most likely the Fed isn't going to change anything around that. What is going to matter for this meeting, or is it just going to be more of a pat ourselves on the back type of Fed because, well, look at how great the markets are doing?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's who knows, you know, what and the initial thing I said was that the market was upset when he didn't address inflation, right? And we had, oh, he's letting inflation get away. And now he does address it. And it's just, it's having a, you know, a reverse effect. I mean, the market is not worried about anything. It's not worried about interest rates. It's not worried about the virus. What Powell's doing, you know, if he doesn't fight inflation, it's good. If he tries to fight inflation, it's good. I mean, it's just a Goldilocks market. I can't tell you what the Fed's going to do next week, but, you know, the market just seems to just ignore everything.
It really does, Joel. But does that mean that there is no room for protection now? Because, hey, look, these markets can get tipped on their head pretty quickly, understanding that they do seem to recover very quickly. So should investors even be bothering with some sort of protection?
I mean, how long is that? You know, how's hedging paid off?
Yeah, no, it hasn't.
Yeah, it hasn't. And, you know, there's different ways you can do, you know, you do different collared strategies that you can do. You know, you can sell calls against some of your positions. You can buy puts. But, you know, I don't do it. I've tried to do it. I tried to do it during the COVID. It paid off. But, you know, it seems like even when you're right on those kind of things, let's say you are playing the options markets, a lot of times, like, the major highs and lows are made overnight. So even if you have those strategies on, maybe the best time to get out of those strategies, the markets aren't going to, you know, they're not even going to be open. So, I mean, that's another thing. I mean, if you're trying to do those things, you know, maybe be extremely nimble with the futures, you know, and be able to, you know, take advantage of that. But, you know, how many times are, you know, like, you know, if you had a short hedge on today and, you know, you were looking okay yesterday, right? And you saw, you know, the market was straight up yesterday from the 6 p.m. open. So, You know, if you're adept at trading futures and you can hedge those and you want to have your head on a 24-hour swivel, then fine. You know, then do so. But it's just very difficult.
Yeah, Joel, and even in the volatility markets where people were playing the VIX, you know, they may last a day or two and then maybe that spike. But if you don't get in and out immediately, you know, you've already missed it and it's already reversed back down. One thing I'd like you to address, because you run the pre-market prep show, and I know you look at the pre-market hours very intensely when you're doing the trading.
Yeah.
For investors that don't do that, for investors that just look at the normal trading sessions, why do you and your colleagues like to focus on the pre-market hours? What do you glean from that? And then you'd kind of mentioned it a little bit earlier, you know, that sometimes those trends will continue. But, you know, why the focus on the pre-market and how does that help investors?
Because, you know, the most important thing is the closing price, right? To me and for, you know, the closing price of the S&Ps, you know, that takes place at 4 p.m. They trade the after hours, but the new day starts at 6 p.m., right? And how the market reacts to the close is a very, you know, a good indication to me. Your close yesterday was 45.90. You know, the low in the pre-market last night was 45.87 and a quarter. So, you know, it's just the mark, and it seems that, you know, the bigger money makes moves during that pre-market and forces stocks to open at levels where if you didn't have pre-market trading, you know, you wouldn't be seeing those levels.
Joel, we'll wrap it up here, buddy. But boy, oh boy, I think the takeaway again right now is that U.S. markets continue to be strong. There's a lot of capital out there. And this new variant, COVID variant, it's, I guess, coming off the burn a little bit for just how much it pulled markets down just a couple weeks ago, not even a couple weeks ago. But now that seems to be in the rearview mirror, even though it clearly isn't. But the markets don't seem to care. And that seems to be the theme just this year of these markets. Joel, thanks as always for your time, buddy. We'll chat again next week. Hope you have a great rest of your week.
Okay, you too.